My dad works in B2B marketing, but I never really knew what that meant. Then one day, my dad came by my school for career day and told everyone in my class he was a big ROAS man. Then he just kept saying things like, the bigger the ROAS, the better, over and over. My friends still laugh at me to this day. I think it means calculating a return on ad spend. One thing's for sure, I'll be known as the ROAS man's kid for the rest of my days. Why couldn't you just be a fireman or a lawyer? Why? You ruined my life, Dad.
Not everyone gets B2B, but LinkedIn has the people who do. And with ads on LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people based on job title, industry, likelihood to buy, and more. Start converting your B2B audience into high-quality leads today. We'll even give you a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/MPN to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/MPN. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
C-Suite Radio.
Want Instagrammers and YouTubers to mention your brand? Or do you want to influence an audience to buy your product? I'm Jason Falls, author of the book Winfluence, Reframing Influencer Marketing to Ignite Your Brand. In this podcast, we explore the people, companies, campaigns, and stories that illustrate the difference between using influencers and actually influencing. Welcome to Winfluence, the Influence Marketing Podcast. Hello again, friends. Thanks for listening to Winfluence, the Influence Marketing Podcast. One avenue of conversation we haven't really explored here on the show is diving into the nuances of influencer marketing within different social networks. A great creator on Instagram may not be very good on Twitter. A strong YouTuber may not help you at all on Facebook. YouTube is the first avenue I think it's worth diving deeper into. Not only is video far more engaging for consumers, but YouTube is the second largest search engine in the world behind Google, which, of course, owns YouTube. So a YouTube influencer posting something relevant about your brand can solve problems in awareness, conversions, search rankings, and beyond. And unlike other nascent social network features, YouTube videos typically stay online forever. So one investment can benefit your brand far longer than other types of influencer content. But YouTube can be a bit of a puzzle for some marketers. Video work is more expensive and takes more lead time than other types of content. YouTube is also a very noisy platform, so you may not know how the influencer is going to get eyeballs against all that other content out there. Fortunately, we know a few folks. One of those is Hillary Thompson. She's the digital PR lead at Portent, which evolved from an SEO firm into a performance-driven digital marketing agency based in Seattle. Hillary's been running YouTube influencer campaigns for them for a couple of years now. She started with a low five-digit monthly spend for a client a couple of years ago. That client's budget has now evolved into the low six figures per month. Hillary gets results. I caught up with Hillary to chat about her approach to influencers on YouTube. She has great tips and advice for reaching out to them, negotiating pricing with them, measuring success, and managing campaigns to optimize results. She also shares a couple of nuances about working with YouTube influencers you wouldn't know if you just didn't do it all the time. You're in for a treat hearing from Hillary today. She does smart work and was gracious enough to share some of that wisdom with us here on Winfluence. Before we get to that, as you may have heard in the last episode, we're doing something different with our main show sponsor now. I'm very careful to vet the softwares, products, and services I tell you about on the show, because if I'm going to ask for your attention for something other than the show topic, it had better be useful for you. Instead of me reading a script or saying what I like about a particular product in question, I want their own customers to share their stories about them. This episode is brought to you by my friends at Tagger. It's a complete influencer marketing solution. You can find out more for yourself at jason.online/tagger. But I've asked Meredith Jacobson, an independent influencer marketing consultant who was on a past episode of the show, by the way, to tell you about how she uses Tagger with We Are Boosters. When we last left off, she was talking about the power of Tagger's discovery tool in searching for the right influencers. How granular can you get with these searches? I mean, I've done plenty and I think I know the answer, but how deep do you go when you're trying to find the right influencer?
Being able to search by location, search by demographic, search within a certain follower range. You know, follower range is only good for so many things. But I think when it comes to search, it's a really good way to capture, okay, someone who has 150,000 followers or more on Instagram is a very different search than someone who has 150,000 or more on Instagram and 150,000 more or more on YouTube. And being able to see both of those and set those ranges and just kind of have an understanding of where a creator's been creating for years, like whether they have legacy on one platform or another, I think that that's a really powerful insight. And then drilling it down further using the keywords, using the categories. One of the most specific searches that I've done using Tagger is that I needed a foodie and a spirits aficionado, and it needed to be a micro influencer who's charismatic. And I found him with Tagger, and he was like everything I dreamed of as an influencer. And he just appeared in my Tagger search. I ended up reaching out to him, getting connected, finding his rep, working out the deal, and we got him for the show that I was casting. And I never would have found him without Tagger.
And for the record, she's not talking about me. Thanks to Meredith for sharing her experiences with Tagger. To start building your own experiences with my influencer marketing software of choice, go to jason.online/tagger today. That's jason.online/tagger. Digging deep into building and managing YouTube influencer campaigns, Hillary Thompson from Portent is next on WinFluence.
My dad works in B2B marketing, but I never really knew what that meant. Then one day, my dad came by my school for career day and told everyone in my class he was a big ROAS man. Then he just kept saying things like, the bigger the ROAS, the better, over and over. My friends still laugh at me to this day. I think it means calculating a return on ad spend. One thing's for sure, I'll be known as the ROAS man's kid for the rest of my days. Why couldn't you just be a fireman or a lawyer? Why? You ruined my life, Dad.
Not everyone gets B2B, but LinkedIn has the people who do. And with ads on LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people based on job title, industry, likelihood to buy, and more. Start converting your B2B audience into high-quality leads today. We'll even give you a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/MPN to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/MPN. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Hillary, I know you've been managing influencer marketing campaigns on YouTube primarily, I think, for the last couple of years. While most people and brands, at least in the consumer products category, have focused more on Instagram, and now, of course, TikTok, I'm curious why you focused on YouTube when you really started diving into this. Was it a client need, just the right channel for the goals? What was it?
A couple reasons. One, the client I started working with initially was a video service. And so video made the most sense. While Instagram has IGTV and TikTok is, of course, video, YouTube held the most interest for this particular client because of the fact that they already had a presence on YouTube, and they needed a visual medium. We had tried doing podcast advertising for them, and it just wasn't quite hitting the mark. The prospective audience couldn't really see the product, and it was a very visual product. So that, and then also just following the trend of everything going towards video, you know, consumers are more and more consuming video content, and that increases with regularity, right? We don't even play static Instagram posts any longer. It's just all video all the time. So between those two things, YouTube was a fit. And lastly, my agency is a SEO agency. Search engine optimization is our bread and butter. And YouTube is the second largest search engine in the world. So it just makes sense to explore there. I don't think if you're a company and you're not on YouTube, you're really missing out. And integrated ads from influencers is a way to get your message out there from a trusted source.
So I know there's obviously a lot of ways that agencies and brands can attack managing influencers. I think you're a proponent of the self-managed engagements as opposed to going to a third-party managed services or other platform. I wonder why that is.
Well, there are multitude of reasons, I should say. It's a lot easier to get authentic engagement when you work directly with the influencer. So you can gauge how excited they are about your product. You can answer questions about the product. You can really engage with them about the brand. Whereas if you're working with a third-party manager, there's no way to accurately assess that. And so that's part of it. Part of it is pricing. Anyone who has a third-party manager is going to be more expensive because they're taking a cut. So working with an influencer directly is always best for us. We're always slightly disappointed when an influencer announces that they've started working with a manager because we know rates are going to go up and communication is probably going to be a little bit more delayed. So in that case, it is actually more advantageous to work with smaller channels. The research on influencer marketing is really showing that micro influencers are much more powerful converters of the product and the message. But there are a lot of more reasons than that to deal with micro influencers versus the macro larger channels. And one of those is the third party managers that get involved.
Sure. I think a lot of brands also have and agencies really have a perception that YouTube influencers in particular are more expensive, primarily probably because video work takes a lot more effort in most cases. But I'm curious how you would characterize the cost of YouTube influence activations as opposed to perhaps other channels.
Well, I mean, it is more expensive. That is true. I also find that it's more successful. So you get what you pay for. It's also baked in. So for time and all eternity, that integrated ad will be on the internet. And you pay money for that. You pay money for that ad space. We have conversions rolling in from ads that we placed 3 years ago. So, you know, you really, as a consumer, as a buyer of integrated influencer YouTube ads, you have to keep in mind that you're paying for essentially a billboard that stays up for time and all eternity. So it's there is that the production itself, the video production itself does take money. So I feel like it is more, but it's also worth it.
Now, just to clarify for people out there who might be a little confused, what you're referring to are, you know, basically ads that are baked into the influencer's video, into their content, not typical YouTube advertising, which can be programmatic and then, you know, swaps out from video to video, correct?
That's correct. It's not targeted in that way. And so, but it's also a lot more the consumer has a lot more trust in these kind of ads versus digital YouTube ads you can buy through Google Ads that just pop up automatically on a lottery sort of a bidding, an auction. I shouldn't say lottery, an auction type scenario. So yes, these are integrated ads. So there are when you work with an influencer on these integrations, you can request pre-roll ads, mid-roll ads, or end-roll ads. We as an agency do not do end roll ads. We find that drop off is just too high and it's not worth the money. So we try to get mid roll ads. So meaning that the integrated ad is towards about I call it early mid roll, about in the first 1 to 3 minutes of the video. So the video sponsor says, this video is sponsored by such and such client. And I'm going to be talking about where to find the best coffee in Ontario, Canada, and I'm going to be covering all these topics. But first, let me tell you a word from our sponsor, yada, yada, integrated ad comes in. I really, really like this product for all these various reasons. I've been using it, and there's an exclusive offer for my viewers. Click on the description below. So, and then they say, and now let's talk about getting coffee in Canada. So it's very natural and we always request that the ad be pretty relevant to the content of the video itself. And we let we provide talking points, but we let the influencer speak to their audience the way they always do. So they know their audience best. And I think trust is a really integral part of the relationship.
True. Now, you mentioned pricing earlier. Since you handle these engagements yourself, give us some tips on how to negotiate pricing and value exchange with YouTube influencers. I'm assuming there's normally some back and forth on costs and such, but what are the best practices for folks here who either they've gone through a third party in the past or they haven't done it at all and they want to make sure, well, I want to get the right value for the negotiation and I don't want a YouTuber to just take my money and not be productive. So what are some ideas that people can use when they negotiate?
First of all, well, there are various tools that can provide you an adequate price range for your integration. So a shortcut could be to use the tool. I have just learned over time what an ad is worth. And so a lot of it for me is gestalt, but that's not very helpful. So what I do is I base my value on the number of average views 30 days out. I do not look at the number of subscribers because a channel could have 1 million subscribers and only get 20,000 views a video. So you have to look at their average views 30 days out from each of their ads. And then I average those. So I look at all their month-long videos that have been out for a month and I average the number of views. And that's what I base my value on. I don't have a formula I can provide you with. I suppose I could figure that out, how much you should pay per average view. But typically an influencer will come back to me with a high ball price. And so I know when that is good value and when that is more than I should be paying for an ad. So I'll counter and we'll go back and forth sometimes two or three exchanges to land on a price. And it's always done very kindly and graciously and diplomatically. And I always set the context that we do pay not based on your subscribers, but based on your average views. And I think that a lot of influencers aren't used to looking at it that way, but it really makes the most sense.
Sure. Well, and I think it's honest value for you and honest performance for them. So I think if they all thought that way, I think the world would probably be an easier place to work in. But
yes. Also, one caveat is that if I find a channel that I really want to engage with, and it's a really relevant, perfect fit, but that their views are really inconsistent. So they'll get 20,000 views and then 300,000 views and then 60,000 views. And I don't really know how much I'm going to get for my money. I set a criteria in the contract that they have to hit a minimum number of views 30 days out. And if they don't, I can do one of two things, and I stipulate this in the contract. Either we pay less for that video, or they make a pro bono video, a video for free to make up for the views we missed. So those are two ways to handle that. And like I said, I try not to do that a lot because it means I have to babysit the video to see how many views it gets, which is a lot of management time. But it is worth it for my client to negotiate that deeply sometimes.
Sure. So we talked about the average video views, and obviously from an ad perspective, from a performance perspective, it makes perfect sense to look at that. But when you're looking at a channel or you're looking at a YouTube creator, trying to find a good fit for the client in terms of content and context, what do you look for if, especially for the people out there who, again, are not very familiar with the YouTube ecosystem, what are you looking for in terms of this is a good fit for my client?
You know, I want to look, I do a lot of discovery with my client before I even hop on YouTube. I talk about their goals and their alignment and their brand voice and what types of people and influencers they want to align with, what their demographic looks like, what their age audience looks like, what their geolocation is. You know, if someone is only specific to Utah or Seattle, it doesn't make sense to be on YouTube because it's an international client, you know? So I really make sure that YouTube is the right fit for them and then look at their goals. And then I look for influencers that align with those goals. So I have brands that are more, our consumers are more into luxury purchases. So we're looking at luxury lifestyle influencers as opposed to just homeschooling influencers or school bus driving influencers, you know, that sort of thing. And I look at influencers who are making content that aligns with the brand as well. So I'll view some videos and get the feel for the influencer and ask myself, would this person become a good evangelist for the brand? And then when I reach out to them, I want to engage their I want to gauge their excitement about the brand itself. I love it when influencers reach out to me about my client brand because I already know they're excited about it and they tend to be really good fits. Sometimes they're too small to work with at the time and I say, check back with me in a year and I wish you a lot of growth and that sort of thing. But I really, really check for that alignment and that engagement.
So we obviously, if you're just going to a YouTube channel or a YouTube video, you can see the number of views, you can see the likes and comments publicly for YouTube videos. But how do we really dig in and see if the influencer is effective? Are there tricks or are there or metrics that you look at to see, okay, people are not only watching this video, but they're probably going to take the advice of this influencer and do something with it? Are there magic tools? Is there some sort of juju vibe you get from them or something that can say this one's going to be really effective?
Well, we do look at the average views to subscriber ratio. So you calculate the average views 30 days out to the number of subscribers and you get an engagement metric. We're a very data focused agency, so we respond entirely to the numbers, right? So we look at the engagement and how active their users are, because if they've got 2 million followers and they're consistently getting 2 million views, that is a highly engaged audience. So we look at that. We look at number of video of views and comments on each video to look at average views and comments and check that out. Again, there are tools that you can pay for that provide all these metrics for you as well. But it's also relatively easy to do it by hand. The only thing you can't do by hand is know an influencer's demographic. So sometimes we ask them to send a screenshot of their user demographic so I can get a sense of what age range is their users. And do note, because I learned this the hard way, teenage influencers have an older demographic because kids are on their parents' phone. Ah. So don't be fooled by that. Just assume for the younger influencers that their audience is also younger.
That's actually a really good point. And I did something recently where it wasn't specific to YouTube, but I was looking for people who influence the 12-year-old and up age group for a kind of a public affairs thing about vaccinations for 12 and up. Anyway, doesn't matter what the client was, but, I noticed that. I noticed there were a lot of teen influencers that their audience numbers were skewed. And it's interesting to know that that's probably what the reason is. So I'm wondering, for YouTube influencers specifically, since you spend so much time with them, what kind of deliverables do you see as most common? I know we've talked about those, you know, sort of mid-roll ads and whatnot, kind of the live reads, if you will. But in video formats, you can have those pre-produced commercials that can be inserted. The influencer can do the on-air reads or testimonials. Certainly, you can also do product placements in their videos, but you can also have that sort of native advertising sponsored content approach and have the influencer creating content specifically about the product within the context of what their audience is used to. What do most of your partnerships look like for a given brand?
We do. If the client has creative we can supply, we do. We provide still shots and video footage if the client has that on hand. Usually those are soundless because we like the influencer to talk over them. And so we provide soundless clips to encourage the influencer to talk over them and not just play them. And so we provide creative assets, but we're always open to our influencers creating their own assets. I think it really tends to fit their brand more and look more authentic. We do send product when applicable, if there is product to send, or give free subscriptions or memberships to things like that, so that the influencer can really engage with the brand and really authentically recommend it. I think that's the number one thing that makes influencer marketing good or really stand out in the digital marketing sphere is the authenticity. I think it's the number one thing. People will trust someone they follow more than they will trust a billboard, more than they will trust a Facebook ad. You know, it's influencer marketing has been around since the age of radio. I mean, if you watch the Christmas Story, Little Orphan Annie was peddling Ovaltine even back then, you know. It's a really great form of advertising, and it really does create evangelists for your brands that people trust.
Yeah. All right, let's get into a case study. I know you did one recently with a streaming video provider, I think. Tell us about the challenge that they faced, and then what was the solution you came up with?
Yeah, so you know, they were a new launch, relatively new in a really competitive market. And we needed a way to get their product just known and seen and let alone used and subscribed to. So at first, I mean, we had paid social going and PPC and all that stuff. And our cost per acquisition were pretty high. As you can imagine, we didn't even bother with branded terms because they were unknown. It was a lot of ad spend, and it was expensive. We tried podcast advertising. Again, the client didn't have promo codes set up yet, and it was hard to get people to go to a URL from a podcast advertising, and they couldn't see the product. So that didn't quite do as well as we'd hoped. And so we just thought YouTube. And honestly, it's what brought me into influencer marketing in the first place. I was a digital PR pro. That's my background, you know. Public relations works really well with influencer marketing because it is all about relationship building. So I took it on, and we started with a very small monthly test budget. And that budget today is about 10 times what it started at because it's been so successful. So in the case study you referenced is over a 2-year time period with this particular client. And, you know, 15% of their site traffic comes from YouTube, of the entire site traffic now. And 60% of their total conversions either come directly from YouTube or are assisted by YouTube, meaning they touch YouTube first and then convert later on direct or paid social or other channels.
That's amazing. I think I also saw 45% of all conversions took place on your influencers' landing pages. That's outstanding.
Yes. Yes. So what I recommend to our clients is they set up landing pages for each of their influencers so we can track conversions. And we do that in Google Analytics and report on that monthly. It's a really good way to gauge influencer performance. So what we do is we'll test a new influencer just for 3 months, 3 ads, 3 months. And then at the end of those 3 months, we gauge performance. And if the CPA isn't adequate, we don't renew the contract. If the CPA is great, we will. Now, there's a caveat to that because the ads are on the internet for a lifetime. So I've had influencers that 90 days out, they weren't really performing very well, but a year out, the conversions had amassed to a point where the CPA was wonderful. So, and I've reached back out to that influencer and say, hey, looks like you're a long-term buddy of ours, you know? And so I just have to trust that over time that influencer will perform.
Now, I want to ask you I want to do an aside here and ask you a quick sort of inside baseball kind of thing, because I know, you know, Porten is the kind of agency that does this really granular data. And you mentioned setting up a custom landing page for each influencer. I've done that in the past. I've also done just UTM parameters and short URLs to make sure that Google Analytics can tell me where the traffic is coming from. So I don't have separate landing pages. I have them come to one, but then the UTM divides it up. Have you tried both, and is there a reason you would recommend one over the other?
We don't use UTM parameters because the URLs are so messy and they're not memorable. We have a lot of traffic come in when people guess their influencer's landing page. And so we create URL versions of a user's landing page. Because some people do just say, oh, that influencer Bob, I love him. I'm going to try to find his page on this streaming platform. And so we like the clean URLs. We like the individualized landing pages as well, because we can personalize them. Say like we have five products we're advertising and our influencer Bob only loves one of the products and is only going to promote one of them. That landing page can be specific to that product. So I see an advantage to that. There is some development overhead there. I mean, there's some work that has to be done with creating each landing page. But if you have a template and access to the client's developer, it's pretty easy to just kind of make them readily.
Yeah, the customization of the landing page makes perfect sense. I can see those custom landing pages converting higher than just sending someone to a generic landing page with the backend code to sort of tell you who that influencer is. So smart thinking there.
Yeah.
All right. So, the case study with the video streaming provider obviously is fantastic, but the first question that pops into my mind, hypothetically speaking, let me throw this catch 22 question out there for you. You obviously built a strong solution for this client using YouTube as the right platform to promote video streaming. You're talking to video stream watchers, internet video audiences. You chose the right influencers who talked about the types of content that the client offered. Those factors were really smart strategic choices. The catch 22 question is this: well, it worked because you're selling video to video people. Would the approach work for boots or bed linens or CBD oil or oil changes?
You know, I'd say yes and no. You know, you would have to find the right influencer to promote those things. And that's when making the perfect partnership really comes into play, and testing. You know, you don't sign a 1-year contract off the bat. You sign a 2-month contract, a 3-month contract, and then reevaluate. And it also depends on how much the influencer loves your product. I think, you know, I've booked ads with animated influencers where the ad is completely animated. There are hundreds of thousands of them on YouTube, and I find that videos and influencers that actually look the audience in the eye and are on camera tend to convert at a much higher rate. So I think if you look the consumer in the eye and say, I love these boots, you know, and look at me wearing them and how amazing are they, you know, and they really authentically love it. People aren't stupid. They know if this person is telling the truth. And honestly, I've had a lot of people ask me since I've been in this field, is influencer marketing fake? Are these people just pretending to like this stuff? I have a lot of people ask me that. And the interesting thing is, it is not fake. These influencers, they really demand the respect of their audience, and they have a responsibility to live up to that. And they're not going to lie to them. That I have had people turn down my product because they weren't into it. They didn't like it. They didn't think their audience would like it. They had something else they liked better. I've had that happen as well. So again, that's that authenticity that is so amazing with influencer marketing.
Yeah, definitely the good ones certainly follow that. I think there's some ones out there that are still trying to figure it out that maybe are not quite as real and authentic as they should be. But you're right. For the most part, the ones that work and that are effective definitely follow that mantra. And it's good to find those. This is great stuff, Hillary. Where can people learn more about you or Portent out there on the mighty interwebs?
Well, we're at www.portent.com. That's PORTENT.com. And our services are on there. I could be reached. I'll give you my email address is hthompson, THOMPSON at portent.com. You're welcome to reach out to me if you have any further questions or want to talk about how we can serve you in this space. I wanted to add one more thing that makes us stand out as an agency, and it's the contract itself. We ask for a lot in our contracts, And I don't want to disclose any secret sauce, but we really get the most out of our influencer marketing. I work hand in hand with the analytics team, the paid search team, the PPC team, the social media team, and we really get the most bang out of our buck for our influencer marketing. And we also negotiate. And so that kind of makes us stand out a bit. And then we back it all up with data. So it's really important. I've had clients that have had other agencies that have tried influencer marketing, and they sign with an influencer and for a year and walk away. And you really have to manage this relationship and watch closely and look at performance and constantly evaluate. It takes a lot of work, but it really does pay off. And if it works right, it's a beautiful relationship, and your influencers can further your brand in ways that you never thought possible. And some of them will even do it for fun and for free sometimes. So it's a great relationship that can be had.
Amen to that. This has actually been, Hillary, very, very enlightening. I feel a lot smarter about approaching YouTubers, as I'm sure the listeners do too. So thank you so much for sharing and spending some time with us today.
Thank you so much, Jason. It's been a pleasure.
Winfluence, the Influence Marketing Podcast, is presented by my book, Winfluence, Reframing Influencer Marketing to Ignite Your Brand. Get your copy online at winfluencebook.com. While you're there, sign up for the latest ideas about influence marketing delivered in my monthly newsletter, or book me to speak to your company or organization about influence marketing. If you or someone you know is an influencer, a brand manager that uses influence marketing, or one of the many amazing people working in the influence marketing services world, and they would make a good guest for the show, email me at jason@jasonfalls.com. Our theme music is One More Look by the K-Club and Grammy Award-winning producer Jaquire King. Thanks for listening, and remember, when it's not about the person, but about results, it's Winfluence.
You may know you're listening to this show along the Marketing Podcast Network, but did you know there are other great shows on MPN to help your business? Christy Hyler hosts a fantastic podcast called Own It. Christy, tell us more about the show.
Own It is all about celebrating women and non-binary advertising agency owners. We talk about buying out of the Boys Club of Advertising because less than 1% of ad agencies are owned by women.
And where can people subscribe?
You can find the podcast at untilyouownit.com. We're also on the Marketing Podcast Network at marketingpodcast.net. And of course, you can subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
You heard her. Go subscribe.
This podcast is heard along the Marketing Podcast Network. For more great marketing podcasts, visit marketingpodcasts.net.